this portion of God's Word, considering as the text the first five verses, verses 1 through 5. And we will consider tonight the subject of Christian giving. And I'll say this before we read this passage. It would be appropriate, in a sense, to think of the sermon tonight as an applicatory sermon after Christmas. After hearing of God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, we hear our calling to give as Christians. And I ask you to pay special attention to the first five verses. I won't reread that. That's the text tonight. We begin our reading at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Thus far we read the Word of God tonight. May God bless the reading of His Word. And I call your attention to the first five verses of this chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, as you saw when we read this passage tonight, and also in chapter 9, the Apostle Paul gives much instruction about the subject of Christian giving. And as he gives this instruction to the congregation living in the city of Corinth, the apostle ties that instruction to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He speaks about Jesus Christ here in verse 9 in the middle of this instruction about Christian giving, where he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And then once again, at the very end of this instruction about Christian giving, the apostle, the end of verse 9, points to the grace of God in Jesus Christ, saying, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift that the apostle speaks of there is God's gift of Jesus Christ and salvation through him. Of course, we do not have the time to look into those two passages very long tonight, but I do call to your attention this very important principle of Christian giving. And that is that Christian giving is a response of the heart of faith to God's gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ, and salvation through him to the church. To give rightly as a Christian, then, does not mean that you follow a rule, and that because you have followed a rule in your giving, then you may conclude, I'm giving as a Christian. It does not mean that you look at your income and you say, there's a percentage now that I must give of my income. And because I'm giving that percentage, I know that I am giving as a Christian ought to do. To give as a Christian does not mean that giving is a matter of a custom or a habit. This is what we are wont to do on the Sabbath day. The plate goes by me as I'm sitting in the pew, and this is what I do. I put money out of my wallet or out of my purse into that collection plate. Christian giving is not a matter of compulsion. One cannot say, I give as a Christian if that giving is only because of a strong command from the pastor, or because someone from the school board or from the diaconate has come to you and laid upon you the calling to give. No, Christian giving starts with this question: what has God given to me in Christ Jesus? And then the heart responds by saying, I will give gladly and liberally. This means that giving and the way that one gives is an indication of one's attitude towards God and to Jesus Christ. If one says with his mouth, I love God, and I'm thankful for salvation through Jesus Christ, but there's no response in giving, then that person shows by that action or lack of action that he does not really love God. It is not really thankful for Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if a man not only says, but also shows in his giving gladly and willingly, he demonstrates that he really does love God and really is thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by tying giving to the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ, the apostle in this chapter is saying very clearly to the Corinthian congregation and to you and me, don't forget this grace of Christian giving. This is a very important part of the Christian life. And the Corinthians needed to hear that. Now, as I explain that tonight, don't think that I've come here tonight because anyone has told me you have the same need to hear this. But the Corinthian Christians needed to hear this because they were weak in the area of Christian giving. At this time, there was a need. The Jewish Christians living in the region of Judea, and especially in the city of Jerusalem, were poor and suffering want. And the Apostle Paul had informed the Corinthians and other Gentile congregations of the poverty of the Jewish Christians. And at that time, the Corinthians had said, "We will take a collection for these needy brothers and sisters in Jerusalem." That comes out in verse 10, where the apostle says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." What he is saying is, a year ago you said we will take a collection for this cause. But now the apostle has to write to them a year later saying, but you haven't done it. You have not performed the doing of taking this collection. The apostle therefore says to them in verse 7, "You do abound in God's grace in many ways. You abound in faith, you abound in utterance, you abound in all diligence, very important parts of the Christian life, but you lack this. You lack the grace of giving. See that you abound in this grace also." And so, because they were weak in this area, the apostle writes this letter, this portion of the letter to them in chapters 8 and 9, to move them, to stir them up in the grace of Christian giving. Now, you notice that this is, maybe you're already feeling that, this is a rather touchy subject, the subject of giving, of our substance. And so the apostle needs to approach this subject in a very wise, in a very careful way. And he does that, even saying to them, "I'm not coming to you now with a commandment. I'm not coming to you now to tell you to give because I told you to give." And the apostle also does not really, although he does admonish them, come to them and say, "And I want you to give now out of the motive of feeling guilty about the fact that you haven't given." But he comes and he says this in the text that we consider tonight. "I'm going to give you instruction by pointing you to an example. To the example of the Macedonian churches. And I'm going to give you their example of giving as an example for you to follow." And so if you can do this, you ought to picture in your minds the country we know today as Greece, that peninsula in the Mediterranean Sea, and understand that in those days, the northern part of that country was known as Macedonia, where through the mission work of the Apostle Paul, the Lord had established churches in Thessalonica and Philippi and Berea. And then the southern region of that country we know today as Greece was known then as Achaia, and there was the church in Corinth. And the apostle says to the church in Corinth, think of the churches to the north of you, those churches. And then thirdly, we will apply that knowledge as the knowledge of their giving is applied to the Corinthians and to us in the text. So in the first point tonight, we consider the apostle's description of the benevolent collection taken by the churches in Macedonia, as that's described in verses 2 through 5 in the text. And let's note in the first place here that this was a benevolent collection taken by the Macedonian churches. A benevolent collection, one like what was collected tonight, is an offering that is taken for the poor and needy. It is a collection that is an act of charity. It is a collection taken for those who have a financial need. And in this case, as I mentioned before, the need was that of the Jewish Christians. Those who lived in the land of Israel, who lived many miles away from the Macedonians, who, partly probably because of a famine in the land, and probably mostly because of persecution, were suffering want. because they were Christians, because they confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, they were enduring persecution. That persecution caused them to suffer material want. There were Christians in Jerusalem and in the area around Jerusalem who, because of persecution, were struggling to provide daily bread and other daily material needs. And so, for that cause, the Macedonians took a collection. We understand what that means. That the offering plate, or whatever other means that they used when they gathered together to take a collection, took place so that the members of those churches took their money and gave it so that it could be given to the poor in Judea. And the apostle highlights here in the text the generosity of the Macedonians in doing this. At the end of verse 2, he speaks of how they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And that word liberality could better be translated generosity. The apostle is not saying here, he doesn't mean to emphasize here, the amount that the Macedonians gave, but he is especially focusing on the attitude of the heart with which they gave for this collection. They gave, he is saying here, sincerely. They gave with hearts of faith and hearts of love, willingly and gladly for this cause. And thus, at the very beginning now of this instruction on Christian giving, the apostle makes a very important point about giving. And that is that one's giving must not be measured by the amount that one gives, but by the heart with which one gives. It's so easy to look at giving with regard to the amount that is given, so that we automatically think that $1,000 is more in liberality than the giving of $100. But that is not the way that the Scriptures teach us to think about giving. In fact, we have indication here that the apostle is not saying that the Macedonians gave liberally because they gave a great amount for this cause. He speaks here of, in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded. The circumstances of these people in Macedonia was that they were poor. So that when we think about this benevolent collection, we must not think about an offering collected in the Trinity congregation, or probably any other congregation in the United States of America. We ought to think about a benevolent collection that is taken amongst the saints in the Philippines, or in Myanmar, or in India, where people can rightly be said to be experiencing affliction and deep poverty. They take a collection, and perhaps they collect $100, and maybe we would say only $100. But that's not what the apostle says here. They only collected this much. He says they gave much. They gave liberally, because he's looking not at the amount that they gave, but the attitude of the heart with which they gave. And so our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to look at the heart when he told us about the widow at the temple. You remember that? Jesus was there by the temple when the people were walking past him and past the box outside of the temple where they would place their donations. And he had seen many of the wealthy Jews come by. And if you measure how much they gave by the amount they gave much. They were putting piles of money into that box. And then along comes that widow. She gives only what we would call 2 pennies. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, she gave more. Now, not if you measure her giving in the amount that she gave. If you measure giving in the amount that was given, then surely the Jews, those wealthy men, gave more. But the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, from her heart, with sincerity and generosity, she gave more. So when you think of giving, don't think of this the way that the people of the world do. Do not think about the amount that is given. The people in the world love to celebrate the donations given by the millionaires and the billionaires. You hear about that in the news on TV, or you read about that in the news in the newspaper. And the world celebrates these men. I can remember when, after I graduated from seminary, worked in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for a while, there was a billionaire in South Dakota who had donated $400 million to a local hospital. And you can imagine the media firestorm that created for weeks, people talking about what a generous man he was. He gave liberally, they would think, or they thought. Well, now that man will be judged by God. I don't need to judge him. We don't need to judge him tonight. But we can say this. The Word of God teaches us here and throughout not to be impressed with the amount. Because if $400 million is given without faith towards God or love for God, then as far as God is concerned, that man gave nothing. Nothing. This is how we must look at giving. It must come from the heart, first of all, in sincerity and generosity. But then the apostle says in verse 3 that they gave according to their power. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. They gave according to their power or according to their ability. That means that these Christians looked at their circumstances, looked at how much God had given to them, and determined, this is how much I am able to give. And then, beyond that, determined, every decision that I make, all of the money that I spend, and how I use all that I have, I'm going to make sure that I am conscious of this. This is how much I must give. To put it into today's terms, the Macedonians were not a people who lived beyond their means so that they would have nothing to give. Nor were they a people who thought only of themselves. This money is mine. I'm going to use it to buy whatever I want. And then at the end of the week or the end of the month, there's nothing to give for any of the causes, not for benevolence or for any other cause in the kingdom. No, they didn't go out and buy, to put it in today's terms, the biggest home they could afford or the most luxurious car that they could afford, and all of the other things that they could afford, so that there was nothing. But they said, if this is how much I have, then this is how much I can responsibly give, and I will make sure to give. I dare say that everyone in this congregation has the ability, the power, the means to give. But that doesn't mean that it's always the case that all of the members of the church are giving. And there's a problem there. A problem, perhaps, that the apostle found in the church in Corinth. And he's not saying to the members of the church in Corinth, if you don't have to give according to your ability, That means you're not a Christian at all, although one who doesn't give may well ask that question, am I a Christian? But the apostle is saying that shows that there's a weakness in your Christian life. He says, look at what you have. According to your ability, give. But then notice, he goes beyond that. The apostle says of the Macedonians, they gave beyond their power there in verse 3. They gave not only according to the ability that they had, but the apostle is telling us they went beyond that ability. And one could wish that the apostle would have explained how they did that. He doesn't. And so we're left, in a sense, to speculate, but I don't think that it's wrong of me to say that we could think of it this way. These were Christians who so loved God and His kingdom that they looked for extra ways beyond what would normally be expected of them, especially for this cause, for their brethren who were in need. So that this would be something like a man saying, I could afford to purchase this home and still have money to give to the church, but because I want to have more to give to this cause, I'm going to buy a lesser home so that I can give more. Or this would perhaps be like a Christian woman who has a certain amount set for the grocery budget every week or every month, saying, I can spend all of this money and still have money to give to the church. But because I know there's a need in God's kingdom, there are poor people who have need or another cause that has a need, instead of buying the finer things that I could buy in the grocery store, I'm going to pare things down so that I will have extra to give. Give even beyond my normal ability. That was the attitude, you understand. That was the attitude of these people who were in deep poverty. In fact, the apostle tells us here that they were not only willing, but they were insistent. We can picture the Macedonians coming, entreating, begging the apostle, as the apostle, when they come to him with the gift, saying to them, no, that's too much. For you people who live in these circumstances, that's too much. You don't have to give that much. And the people saying to the apostle, we insist. This is what we want to give. That's the attitude in Christian giving. And notice that the apostle makes clear that this generosity was true Christian generosity. That was an expression of love for fellow saints in verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Isn't that beautiful? The Macedonians were thinking this way. Their fellow saints there in Jerusalem. Even though we may never see those people, we don't have the money, the ability to travel that far. And even though we will probably never know these people by name, here, Paul, take this and show this as a token of our love. For fellow saints. You ought to think that way. I hope you were thinking that way tonight when the benevolent offering was taken. I'll never know the people to whom this money will be given. The deacon's work is confidential. I won't know the members of this church or maybe other churches to whom they give this money. But when I give out of love for the ministering and the fellowship of the saints. You may wonder sometimes, how do I fulfill what Jesus calls me to do in Matthew 25 when he says, give meat to the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, shelter to the stranger. This is it. This is how the Macedonians did that. This is how you and I can show love for fellow saints, giving generously. But then, it's not only love for fellow saints, but love also for God that stirred up the Macedonians to do this. Verse 5, And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They understood. It's not only our money that belongs to God, but we belong to God. And we will give ourselves to God, all that we have, all that we are. And then also we will give for this cause our money. They did give as a matter of obedience to the will of God. God does command giving. But they didn't need a commandment from the Apostle Paul. They were motivated by their love for God and fellow saints. And so there's the example that the Apostle laid before the Corinthians and before us of giving liberally, according to one's ability and even beyond, in love for God and fellow saints. But now the apostle makes clear that he's not giving credit to the churches in Macedonia for this giving. And he makes sure that the Corinthians, and we know that they gave because of the power of God's grace working in them. That's verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. The apostle is saying, we will make known to you the grace of God. And he has in mind, in the first place, the power of God's grace, the saving power of that grace. This is what was at work in the Macedonians. And we know that we need that saving power of God's grace because we know that by nature, all men, because of sin, are not generous, not loving towards God or to the neighbor, but selfish and self-centered. And the apostle, therefore, then is not boasting about the Macedonians. He's not saying, look what they have done in their own power. And he's not saying to the Corinthians, I want you to consider this example so that you will see that these are better churches than you, better Christians than you. And he certainly is not taking any credit himself. He's not saying this was a giving. These churches were giving churches because of the power of my preaching and my ministry. But he sees this all as the work of God's grace. And so, because God had operated by his grace in the hearts of the Macedonians, when they heard of the need of the Jewish Christians, they responded spontaneously, quickly, to give out of love and compassion for them. They were changed by God's grace. That is what moves a Christian to give. There may be other reasons why other people give. There may be even sometimes other reasons why we give. A man might be motivated to give out of selfishness. He might be motivated to give, as the Jews often were, so that other people will praise him. A man might be moved out of a sense of guilt, saying, I look at all that I have and see that there are others who have need, and I feel guilty, so I feel the need to give for the cause of a charity. Or maybe it will be because of compulsion. Some churches seem to think that that's the way to move people to give. If the minister will speak strongly enough, if the minister will beat upon the congregation enough with his words, then maybe people will open their wallets and their purses and give. But Christian giving is moved by God's grace. To give, the apostle emphasizes, willingly and generously. But the apostle, when he says, to the Corinthians, I will make known to you the grace of God, is not only saying to the Corinthians, now it was that grace that was the power working in their hearts, but he's saying to them, I want you to know the grace of God, think about the grace of God, because that's also the motive of Christian giving. God's grace is a wonderful gift to the church. We're reminded Friday that God's grace was the source of God's gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of salvation through Him. Why was Jesus Christ sent into the world? Why did Jesus suffer and die to save sinners? It wasn't because it was owed to anyone. It wasn't because anyone was deserving. No one in Macedonia, no one in Corinth, and no one here is deserving of that grace. Because of the undeserved favor of God's grace. And God's grace is also the source of all of the rich saving blessings that we as God's people here in this world enjoy. The apostle is saying, think about this. What God has given you in your church, the fellowship, the communion of the saints. Think about what God has given you in your homes, your Christian homes, and not about your homes or the houses and all of the possessions you have in your homes, but the spiritual blessings of grace. Think of the Christian schools and the covenant and the blessings of children in the covenant. The Macedonians, I believe the Apostle Paul is saying this to the Corinthians. They were not only moved by the power of God's grace, but motivated by thinking about that grace. When the Apostle says, it was God's grace working through them, he is saying to the Corinthians, this is how they thought. God has given us so much. In Jesus Christ, we will give for this cause and for others. And so the apostle is saying to the Corinthians, this is what you need to think about too. You see, if you're thinking now that the point of this sermon is that I, or that the text is saying to you, Christian giving is about you giving much, and you giving liberally, then you miss the point of the apostle here. The point of the apostle here is, think of John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And think of Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. No, Christian giving is all about this. What has God given? How rich am I in God's grace that I may respond with gratitude in my giving. Beloved, the congregation in Corinth knew the grace of God. The apostle makes that very clear here in verse 7. They knew God's grace. They had been blessed with faith, with utterance, with knowledge, with even some brotherly love for fellow saints. But the apostle is saying, there's one thing you do not understand. You ought to be more willing and generous givers. And the apostle could have said many things to impress that upon the Corinthians. We have reason to believe they had more wealth than the Macedonians. The apostle could have come to them and said, as anyone could come and say to you and me too, look at the providence of God. Look at all that He has provided for us. Materially, we are very rich. But the apostle doesn't appeal to that. He doesn't come with a command. He doesn't come with a rule. He doesn't come with a threat. If you don't give, I'll be coming, or Titus will be coming. But he comes with just this. What has God given to you? In his grace, in Christ Jesus. You're a poor sinner. He was made poor, that through his poverty, you might be rich. Think of that. Then take out your wallets and your purses and give for benevolence and for every cause of God's kingdom. And if you think this through, you think of this example, and you think of God's grace to you in Jesus Christ, well, then if you are weak in this area of Christian giving, you'll use this now as the motivation so that you will give liberally and generously to thank God and say, this is the least I can do. Amen. Father in heaven, grant thy grace to us so that we may turn our attention to the things of the kingdom of heaven and recognize that our wealth is not measured in the things of this world, but that our wealth is measured in the heavens, in the eternal salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And grant that we might know a little bit tonight of the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of that love and apply that to our hearts so that our love may return to thee and that our love may be shown to fellow saints, that we may have giving hearts, giving of money, time, talents, abilities, giving ourselves to serve thy church and bring glory to thy name. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll sing now Psalter number 311.